Welcome to Getting Intimate with CX, brought to you by Brandhook and distributed through the CMO magazine.
I was here till very late and we set the alarm at 3 a.m. to respond to the visitor comments, because if we're asking people to come here 24 hours a day, then we need to respond to those people 24 hours a day, hearing their concerns, addressing their concerns, helping them with their visit, and making sure that they have a good time.
Hi, I'm Pip Stocks and I'm your host for Getting Intimate with CX, an 11-part series about what makes a great customer experience and how brands in Australia are getting intimate to do that. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Getting Intimate with CX. And my guest for this episode is Jane Zantuck, who is the head of marketing at the National Gallery of Victoria. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Pip.
How are you?
Well, thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Well, this is exciting because we're actually at the NGV, watching all the crowds.
And the final day of Van Gogh.
Final day of Van Gogh.
Yep, 3 days extension.
Yeah, I know. Huge success.
It's been good.
Yeah, good. All right, well, you can tell us a little bit more about that as we go through the questions. Now, you know I'm asking the same seven people, the same seven questions. What it allows us to do is kind of see, cross-pollinate all these amazing insights at the end of it. We might run some events, Jane. You can come and be on the panel.
Excellent.
Get your big red lips out there.
Even better.
Jane and I both love red lipstick.
Which yes, we do. Yes,
you'll
we
see
do.
From a bit of the photos. All right, let's start. The first question is, when was the last time you had a great customer experience and who was it with?
We were just talking about this before and I really found it very hard to pick.
Yes.
The last time I had a really good customer experience, and I was thinking it's really easy to pick, you know, or to talk about the last bad customer experience.
Yes.
But the last good one is really hard. And I sort of thought, I think it's Melbourne baristas that do it the best. And
yep.
Why they do it the best is because they, well, my local knows my name, knows my order, knows when I'm in a hurry, and knows when to put me at the front of the queue, and knows when I'm relaxed, and knows when I can wait. And I think that that is a really sign of a fantastic customer experience. But the other one is a Bali hotel. I think it's for the same reason. It's because you're welcomed by your name. You know that they know that you're here for a relax, so that they're not so much in your face. But if you've got children, they remember the children's names and they come up to them every morning and say, "What would you like to do?" And I think it's all that personal touch, but also reading the play.
So yeah, right.
Are you in a relaxed mood or are you frantic and responding?
That's really interesting because a lot of people have talked about that, having a personalised, tailored experience, but also having someone on the floor, so to speak, that knows how to judge a situation and play to it accordingly.
Totally. Well, that's what we're finding here at the NGV at the moment with the Van Gogh exhibition.
Yeah.
There are about 6,000 visitors a day, which is through the roof in terms of our normal capacity. And there are people that are very happy to wait, and there are people that are not happy to wait. There are people that have never waited for an exhibition before and they don't really want to wait this time.
Mm.
And I think that our staff are really trying to monitor people's frames of mind and respond to that as quickly as possible.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
So is that what makes a great customer experience when we talk about what is it? Is it about personalisation and front staff or what else is it?
I think it definitely is. It's reading the play.
Mm.
It's being true to the brand.
Mm.
You know, all of our customer service staff here, and, you know, it's not just the front of house staff, but it's the members lounge staff. It's the security guards that are looking after the priceless pieces of artwork on the, you know, on any given floor. It is the catering staff that are being smashed by coffee and soup orders and all sorts of things. It is, there's the experience of functional experience, like the functionality, you know, is somebody safe? Are they secure? Have they been welcomed? Has there been eye contact? But then there's that, you know, just a security guard up on the third floor that people don't necessarily expect to hear from. They sort of seem to be a security presence.
Mm.
But you can walk onto that third floor and at any one time you might be contemplating a piece of work. And if you turn around, a security guard might actually just say to you, "This is by Rothko. This is very famous for this reason." And I think that can really transform people's experiences. And I think that's what we pride ourselves on here at the NGV.
That's beautiful. I love that. You know, that everybody can be part of making a great experience for the customer.
Well, it's critical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Why are some brands able to crack a great customer experience and others aren't? Is it a culture issue?
Definitely.
CEO.
The culture has to start at the top. It's very easy here at an art museum. The director is a visionary. He is somebody that is, you know, obviously exceptional at what he does, but it's about the people that work here all have a shared passion. Mm. I think that's very helpful.
Yes.
Shared passion breeds, you know, shared want for everybody to experience the same passion that you have for that product.
Yeah.
And that's certainly something here that we really try to do. I think that our director, Tony Elwood, he they talk about the golden chain or the golden thread with the customer service. He every morning walks that floor before the crowds come in, and he makes sure that everything is good. And I mean, it's not obviously just him, but it's all, you know, there's a team of us that walk the floor before anybody comes in. We talk to the staff. We make sure that the wayfinding signage is good and it's not, you know, falling short. We make sure that the displays are all right. And he breeds positivity. He breeds ambition, I should say. And I think that really filters down to all of our staff.
And it makes you want to be better at your job, doesn't it?
It does. If he knows everybody's name, then, you know, in our members' room, it's really important that our members' lounge staff know the members' names when they come in as well. They want to be greeted in the same way that we do.
I'd like to get into that members' lounge, Jane.
Yes. $100, Pip.
Oh, yes. Is that all?
Yeah, $100 for a year. Oh. You get a free subscription to Gallery Magazine.
Ooh.
Six times a year.
Do I get a glass of wine?
Free coffee and free biscuits, always fresh. But we do members programs all the time. So wine at those, Pip.
Oh, thank you.
Importantly, wine at those.
I'm coming. So about walking the floor before your...
And walking the floor while the customers are there, importantly as well.
So that kind of leads me on to the next question. We believe in that customer intimacy. Is that how you are able to really understand the customer experience by living and breathing it yourselves?
I think you absolutely have to be on the floor. Like I mentioned before we met today, that the last week it's been extremely... Well, the whole season here has been extremely busy for Van Gogh, but the last week in particular, and we've had all of our senior staff as well as junior staff, like, taking turns on the floor, talking to people.
Yeah.
You know, I've been setting the alarm. When we did a 24-hour opening, I was here till very late, and we set the alarm at 3 a.m. to respond to those visitor comments, because if we're asking people to come here 24 hours a day, then we need to respond to those people 24 hours a day, hearing their concerns, addressing their concerns, helping them with their visit, and making sure that they have a good time.
I've spoken to a lot of people in this series so far, and there is an absolute consistency on those that are passionate about customer experience are the ones that are answering customer questions. I've got a CEO that I spoke to that is answering questions on the Facebook page on the weekends.
Of course, you know, absolutely. Yeah. With an art institution, we get an enormous amount of visitor comments. Good, indifferent, sometimes, you know, with great suggestions.
Yes.
They always inform the planning. But we have a forum where we actually share those with the executive management team and talk about how they can inform future, you know, programming and planning. But also, I think that if we're talking to people through social, then we need to respond to that. You know, if we're talking to them, it's about the conversation. Social is all about that conversation. Yeah. And so let's have the conversation. Leave them out there for 12 hours.
I've worked with retailers that don't even, you know, brand managers that don't even wear the clothes. And I find that astounding.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I love these stories about being on the floor.
Yeah. Well, we love nothing more. I mean, we do wear the T-shirts.
Yeah.
Happy to wear the T-shirts.
Yeah, but experiencing what your customers are also experiencing is so key, isn't it?
Totally.
So how are you measuring your success at customer intimacy? I mean, a lot of brands are using NPS. I mean, or is it simply your traffic? Is it simply the success of a particular...
We definitely have target attendances for each exhibition, but also for the overall attendance for the year. But that's one part. It's visitor satisfaction that we're very interested in. So we have a rolling research program that tells us about visitor satisfaction and dwell times and experience and recall of advertising, all this normal stuff that you get within the research program. But that informs us of who is coming and what types of programs are being useful or admired, and also what people would like to see more of and how they would like to be communicated to. And so that informs all of our messaging and our programming.
So in your planning meetings, did you say you meet once a week?
It depends on the period.
Yeah, right.
So right now we're meeting once a day.
Okay.
For Van Gogh.
Yep.
It's a moving feast. We weren't doing time ticketings last week, and now we're doing time sessions for the last week to control capacity.
So day to day, week to week changes about how to make it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it?
It is. And we're even using this. This is what I was showing you. The GroupMe. There are 7 people on GroupMe, and all day and all night we're talking about releasing more tickets to the website, responding to the Facebook direct messages with commentary about how many people are in the queue.
Because
if somebody's bothered to call, somebody's bothered to email us about, can I come tonight? Well, we want to let them know, yes, they can, or no, they can't, because the tickets are sold out.
It's there's a brand in the US called Best Buys, and they have this thing called 12 Force, which is 100 preordained almost shop workers who answer social media requests when in their downtime. It's almost like you need...
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
At the moment it's me, or it's somebody else in my team. We're taking shifts.
Yeah. So it's a nice idea. It's that excess capacity idea. So when there's someone in the business who has got a couple of hours up their sleeve, they're being designated to answer the social media responses.
Yeah, terrific.
I had a client once say to me, my job's very full. If I had to drop something, would I drop answering people's questions or building the website or something? And I said, well, you can't not answer people's questions.
No.
Like, if the people are bothering to ask you a question...
They're engaged.
They're engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to answer the question.
Yeah.
All right, last 2 questions.
All right.
What new technology or trend are you most excited about when it comes to your brand's customer experience? So we came and saw the Jean-Paul Gaultier exhibition.
Yes.
And what I loved about that was the movement and technology.
The mannequins.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's a very new way to experience a fashion show.
Yeah.
And I think that people really loved it because it was something new, it was something different.
Yeah.
And the feedback was really fantastic about that.
It's
very much, it's synonymous with his display.
Oh, right.
Because it's that playful JPG feel.
Yeah.
And that really worked for him.
Yeah.
Dior is going to be completely different.
Is it?
It's deliberately, the campaign is deliberately understated. It's sort of refined and elegant. The display will be, we think about the audience so much. Obviously, that's the most important thing we do when we're planning these exhibition displays. It's not just about egress or the way you walk around the space, but it's about what will blow people's minds.
Yeah.
And, we're building the staircase of Dior's, head office in Paris, a replica in the building.
That's amazing.
Double height gallery spaces. So these sorts of things, aren't happening anywhere else in the world. Because Melbourne is far away, because Melbourne is looking, like this gallery is looking for a global reputation, we do things on a very, different scale. So there's an exhibition at the moment promoting Dior's 70 Years of Haute Couture in Paris, and their display is, I would say, far less exciting than what audiences will experience here in Melbourne. And we know that people like to come and be wowed by the exhibition design, not just what is perceived as the art, because it's that whole experience. So, we know that when people are walking through the door, they want to see something beautiful that's Dior. They want to be greeted by people that, are going to talk to them about the Dior experience. They want the cafe to serve French food. Or
French champagne in the members
club. Definitely French champagne. Moët is a partner. Thank you very much. So every touch point, the music that will be playing in the gallery kitchen, it will have that sort of Dior salon feel. And then you go into this exhibition and then you're blown away. And then, of course, you leave and say, we say thank you very much for your experience. Au revoir. Perfect. And then hopefully they tell all their friends and their friends come.
So that consistency of every touch point is obviously another part of what makes a great experience.
Well, people used to come to the gallery... far fewer people used to come to the gallery than come now, and they used to come just for an art experience of whatever that might be. Now it's much more like the NGVs is not so much an art gallery as it is an attraction. It's an experience. Like, people come here and they might wander through the halls and bump into art because there's now art in the foyers.
Yeah, that's right.
And they might take their kids out to the backyard.
Mm.
Every single touch point has to be something that we've really considered. Like, a lunchbox for a kid is no longer, you know, it has to be a fantastic lunchbox for kids.
Yeah.
You know, I've just recently surveyed all of my friends' kids with the over the school holidays, and I found out that ours is just a little bit too conservative. Ours with the water and the sandwich and the, you know, apple is a little bit too healthy, and perhaps we need to insert a gingerbread man to make everybody more happy.
Yeah, right.
If the kids are happy, the parents are happy, and we're happy.
Yeah.
The thing, the trends, the technology that I'm excited about, it's been here forever, but it's beacon technology. And it's just that we've got this magnificent bluestone building here at NGV International, and it's been very difficult to be able to have that sort of technology facilitated through the building.
Yeah, right.
And now a partner has come on board, and by the end of this year we'll have beacon technology, which enables us to have a multilingual mobile multimedia device that helps people tour the building at their own pace, finding out as much information as they want to find out, and hearing that something more about the artwork that's in front of them.
And the back, the other side of that is that you get to look at how people are navigating
Correct.
The gallery.
Yeah, what they're interested in, when they're stopping, what they're interacting with. They can share and leave a comment.
Yeah. And do it better if you need to.
Totally.
Yeah, I love beacons.
Yeah.
All right, last question. If you had a magic wand, some people have changed this question on me, which is very annoying.
Okay.
But, you know, some people said I'd like a time machine, for example.
Okay.
Typical marketers.
Yeah.
Thought leaders, just
yeah.
making things up. But if you had, Jane, a magic wand, mm-hmm. what would be the one thing you'd change in your customer experience?
I think it's before people actually come here. It's after there's an intent to visit, it's the fear of an arts engaged experience and what that might be.
Mm.
So if I had a magic wand, I would say everybody must know that it is not an intimidating or you can only come to the NGV if you know about art.
Yeah.
It has to be something that people, everybody feels that is incredibly accessible and there is something here for everybody to enjoy and experience.
So would your Instagram account help to demystify some of that?
It does. It's the more playful and the more we can show the diverse things that we do here. And
the Friday night bands.
The Friday night bands.
I love those.
We're having DJs, international DJs for Dior, which will be off the charts.
Dancing.
Dancing. Critical. Dancing. What else will we have? It's, you know, Sunday sessions that might be with the bands out in the garden with barbecues in the garden.
Yeah.
You know, sensational. There's a climbing frame for kids.
Yeah.
It's the kids programming that's done with artists that is this, you know, it's not just getting out a Crayola and doing a sketch in the space that's for kids. It's actually creating a beautiful world that an artist has created, and children are welcome to come and help create that masterpiece.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
right.
It's real stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're really concerned with making a meaningful and compelling reason for people to visit from all across, you know, from every demographic.
Well, art used to be about something untouchable on a wall.
Totally. And shush, please be quiet.
Yes.
And now I've got music and we've got running, and I mean, not too much running, but
taking photos of Dior.
Absolutely.
Not Dior, Van Gogh.
Photos, it was something that was very much taboo. No photography in the space. And I remember when the Hermitage exhibition came, or we put on an exhibition with the masterpieces from the Hermitage in Russia, they were like, you will not have your people taking photos of our artwork in the space. It's just not to be done. We were like, that's such a key marketing thing. You know, share your experience and then people will see it and then they'll come. And so we changed it for that, and we changed it for Warhol Weiwei, and it's just been, it's a transformation.
Yeah, Warhol was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, you know, and everybody took photos of Weiwei's bikes.
Yes.
And then it became, you know, one of the most Instagrammable things of that summer. And it just, the social sharing makes it accessible.
Yes.
And so I guess the magic wand, I want everybody to know how accessible it is and wonderful it is.
Yep. Beautiful. Thank you, Jane. That's been
Thanks,
fantastic
Pip.
To hear a different point of view about customer experience from actually an experience kind of business. So thank you very much. And thank you everyone for listening. And we'll see you next week for another great ep of Getting Intimate with CX. See ya.